Christ before us, Christ behind us, Christ under our feet. Christ within us, Christ over us, let all around us be Christ.
Somos el grupo viajero de Guatemala y Colombia de 2017.
¡Ah, bueno!
Muchas gracias a todos por venir a oír nuestro resumen breve de nuestro viaje de 3 meses y medio a través de Latinoamérica. Espero que disfruten nuestras reflexiones, historias y obras.
We are the Guatemala and Colombia Cross-Cultural 2K17. Woo! Thank you everybody for coming to hear a brief summary of our 3.5 month journey across Latin America. I hope you enjoy our reflections, stories, and skits. We are a group of 20 students and two...
Nope. All right, so I'm Elizabeth, she's Riley. We're gonna do the statistics.
Okay. Number of students, 20.
Number of EMU profs, 2.
Number of Spanish teachers, 7.
Number of family members, 79.
Days in Guatemala, 66.
Days in Colombia, with an O, 30.
Travel statistics. Kilometers traveled by plane as a group, 9,570. Yes, we counted everyone.
Number of planes used as a group, 5.
Volcanoes hiked, 4.
Country capitals visited, 3.
Towns visited, 21 plus.
Pyramids climbed, 5.
Now for the funny stuff. Dogs seen on roofs, 112.
Garments stitched by Robert, 14. Thank you for the pants.
Piercings obtained, 10.
Frozen desserts consumed by Kevin, 73.
Beard growth, 19 millimeters. Just check out Riley's neck beard after the check.
Okay, tortillas consumed. Number of inappropriate jokes Elizabeth has made.
Number of times Katrina was injured. Well, there was the time she tripped on gravel, and then there was the time she hit herself in the face playing ninja.
Oh, what about the time she ran into the McDonald's sign?
Yeah.
Pounds of hot chocolate, gym bought, 10.4.
Electronics out of commission, 6.5.
So, 5 phones, a camera, and half a Mariah Diaz phone.
Number of times Kelsey used soap or shampoo in the shower. 0.
That's disgusting.
You're my hero. for the next statistic, just for context, if you don't know already, Latin American septic systems can't really handle toilet paper being flushed down the toilet, so the number of times toilet paper was scooped out from the toilets, 110.
We couldn't get our crap together. Students bonded, 20.
Student lives changed forever, 20.
Students who improve Spanish, 20.
Students who will miss Latin America, 20.
EMU profs who inspired us, 2.
Shout out to Yim y Anita Hirschberger, #5 guys burgers y fritas.
Hi, I'm Esther.
And I'm Kayla, and we will be introducing our chapel theme.
We have faced a lot of hard statistics throughout this journey. We have seen and felt a lot of suffering from the people we've met, hearing stories of displaced people from the armed conflict in Colombia, and meeting a man who was ripped apart from his family because of deportation. We have witnessed people living in poverty as well. Yet the resilience against the corruption and the hurt and their fight for justice and human rights has given us hope, hope for a better world. We've also experienced some incredible adventures, like ziplining across the forest, hiking and falling down an active volcano, living in a remote indigenous village, and learning how to make tortillas. We have been extremely uncomfortable and challenged as well, learning a new language, using the Guatemalan transportation system daily, and riding in crowded buses, trying new foods like eating cheese for dessert and fish with the entire head on the plate. Yes, we've been uncomfortable many times and made many mistakes, but this is part of the learning process.
But through it all, our group has come back to this one phrase, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." This phrase has served as a guide for our group throughout the trip, pushing us to be willing to receive both the beauty and the pain that the world holds. We got this opportunity to engage and understand a place and a culture deeply, and that was not always easy. The scripture verse Ephesians 1:17-18 explains God's call of opening your heart to both the struggles and the hope that the world brings. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Thank you.
Good morning, my name's Alyssa. Within the first week of being in Guat, we were already exposed to the contrasts of different social classes. We went to the largest landfill in Central America, where we were immediately greeted by a terrible smell and vultures perched all around. I looked down into the landfill and saw hundreds of people working, sorting through their trash as trucks dumped it. They earn about $3 to $5 US on a good 12-hour workday. Some of those people actually live there simply because they were born into that life. We are no better than these people. The only difference is our birth certificates. Our guide there, Joel Van Dyke, encouraged us to open our eyes and expand our vision, even though that's hard to see, because that's where we can come in and help by listening to them, viewing them as equals, and sharing them love and attention, because many of these people are nameless to society. After the dump, we visited a wealthy area called Kaila. It was very nice, but only a short drive from our previous visit. This was called a contrast tour, and the polar opposites were definitely clear. Throughout our whole trip, we witnessed contrasts within our different host families, the indigenous people and the middle-class civilians, the leaders of the megachurches, and the people who play guitar on the buses for some change. We've definitely expanded our vision throughout this trip, and we can't wait to share more about it with you.
Good morning, I'm Anna.
And I'm Kieran.
So, as we all know, there are inequalities, double standards, and sexism in all countries. One that stood out to us was machismo culture. Machismo culture is a social standard that exists among men in Latin America. Kind of like men bringing home the bacon or not being able to show emotion in the U.S. On this trip, I learned that it's expressed and perceived in many different ways. For example, in Guatemala, it's seen as catcalling and whistling at women, usually while driving by on the road. In El Salvador, it's a lot more active. It's common for men to walk up and to touch women or say things to them. In Colombia, at least on the Caribbean coast, it is seen as being violent towards women. Throughout this semester, we started to put together a few puzzle pieces from the complexity of what makes sexism a factor in the Americas.
One example where I noticed machismo culture was in Guatemala. I was walking home from school with Katrina, and we stopped in front of a shop. And while we were outside that shop, a car drove by, and a man was yelling out the window at Katrina. And when they left, I asked her what they said, and she said the man was yelling at her to come over to the car and get in. This really frustrated me as a man because it made me feel like I had to try harder to prove that not all men were like this. But with this being said, there were still a lot of really respectable men in Colombia who were combating the machismo culture, such as my teacher and my host dad, who were both very, very respectable men.
Hi, I'm Mariah. Together, we spent 2.5 months studying at a language school located in Guatemala City called Casas. On our first day of Spanish classes, I stared at my teacher in terror as I realized she would be teaching the entire class not only about Spanish, but in Spanish as well. With only one other student in the class, that being Riley, I was nervous about the bundle of attention we were both going to be receiving from our teacher, Adriana. But with many laughs, Spanglish, and a variety of stories concerning dead cats, I learned to love our small class of three. And I am so grateful for the friend that I have found in Riley. Besides learning Spanish, CASAS also taught me a lot about education. Although in the United States, we view the best education as having the best classroom supplies and the best technologies, I felt that I received the best teaching right there in that classroom. Learning Spanish helped us to be able to engage and interact with the culture around us. Guatemala quickly became my home and a place where a piece of my heart will always be. Gracias a Dios.
While in Guatemala, we spent 2 days in the indigenous village of Xucaneb. Guatemala has more than 20 indigenous groups, each with different languages and histories. Where we stayed, they spoke Quechua, and to demonstrate the importance of language learning on our trip, we'll be singing the song This Is the Day, the first time through in Spanish, and the second in Quechua. The words will be up here, and feel free to join it.
To a cloud forest in Alta Verapaz, Guatemala, and there we met Rob and Tara Cahill, where we learned about their program they run to empower indigenous women in the surrounding community, who in their communities are not fully appreciated or given the same opportunities as men. Rob gave us a devotion from Mark 3 about Jesus at the synagogue. There, Jesus picked out of the crowd a man with a crippled hand and lended his hand to him. This left me with a thought that God was reassuring me and encouraging me that being in the special education field is where I need to be, and I need to act like Jesus in that, by lending a hand to those who sometimes are cast off in communities or in society or not given the same opportunity as others. Though I may not always be appreciated in my profession, it means more to the person or the child I'm pulling out of the crowd. The quote I will always remember that Rob Cahill told us is, "Jesus always brought people from the outside in, and so should we." Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Katrina. In Guatemala, I lived with an incredible host family. Leaving Guatemala was incredibly difficult for me because I love my family and I know I will always have a home in Guatemala. However, it took me a very long time to feel like I could love them and fit into their family. I struggled with feelings of frustration and sadness with the way my family treated and talked about indigenous people in Guatemala. In my home, we had three maids, all of whom were indigenous Mayan women. One of them was the same age as me, and she lived in our house with us Monday through Saturday, doing all of our cleaning, laundry, and preparing and serving us all of our meals. Aside from having to get used to being served in my own home, I had to work to respect my family when they treated me as a daughter and her as a servant. Unfortunately, this lack of respect for indigenous people in Guatemala is not uncommon. Through all of our classes and experiences, we saw how drastically racism affects the Guatemalan society. Many indigenous communities lack access to funds and resources. This lack of resources leads to discrimination and stereotypes because many indigenous people don't have the same opportunities to be educated or obtain jobs. For a long time, I didn't know how to love my family because of their treatment of my Mayan maid. I decided to embrace the tension I felt between my family and their treatment of indigenous people through the act of love. Just because my family treated indigenous people in one way didn't mean I had to give up my actions and beliefs of treating everyone with dignity and respect. I loved my family fiercely, and I loved my indigenous friends fiercely. I hope I was able to make an impact with the love I was able to show to all who made my experience in Guatemala so memorable.
Hi, I'm Kelsey. And so the second part of our trip, we were in Colombia, and during the second week of being in Colombia, we split up into small groups of 2 to 4 people and traveled all over the country for service learning. So me and Rachel and Emily went to La Mesa, and before going, we didn't hear anything about it except for that it might be a place. Nobody from MCC had really ever been there, so we weren't really sure. We had heard like where everybody else was going and what everybody else was doing, and nothing about La Mesa. So as we were driving in, we could see why there was no need for MCC and why there had been no violence there. It's La Mesa means table, and so it's a plateau in the middle of a valley in the middle of a ring of mountains. And so there was really no need for it. And we then later found out that a guerrilla leader had been born there, and so he kept it really safe. So for the week, we were teaching in a school. We thought we'd be helping English, like English classes, but it turns out that we were teaching them all. Often we came up with our lesson plans like right on the spot, like, oh shoot, we should do something. Let's ask him a question, I guess. Maybe that'll work. Sure. So that led to some interesting conversations. Like when asked what was as tall as Emily, the sixth grade class responded with a door, and then later with a baby giraffe. So we had great times there. And overall, it was a really great experience and probably one of my favorite weeks.
Okay, good morning. I'm Emily. And during our time in Guatemala and Colombia, we saw a lot of cultural differences between the United States, Guatemala, and Colombia. So we're going to represent that comically through some skits. So during these skits, I will be playing the person from the United States.
I'll be representing the Guatemalan.
And I will be representing Colombia. Making food in Colombia. All right, I have my pot here. I got some grease I'm gonna put it in. I got my rice in the background. I got making juice. I got some soup over here.
What are you making?
Breakfast.
Making tortillas in Guatemala.
So first you pile like this, and then you round it on the side. And then you drop them, and you just keep. Yeah, kinda.
And making food in the United States. Let's see what deals Domino's has today. And place order, they have 30 minutes.
Ding dong.
Here's your pizza.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Greetings in Colombia. Oh, hey, Maria.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. So, hey, I gotta go, though, so.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Okay, ciao.
Ciao.
Greetings in Colombia, in Guatemala.
Hola, Ana. Bien, ¿y tú? ¿Cómo estás?
Bien, bien. ¿Y su familia?
Ah, yo soy muy bien. ¿Y su familia?
Bien, gracias.
Necesito salir, pero hasta luego.
Adiós.
And walking past each other on the street in the United States.
Riding the bus in Colombia. It's raining. All right, gotta ride the bus. Okay, put away my umbrella, get my bus card. Swipe in. I got a seat. Got lucky. Vroom, vroom.
Transportation in Guatemala.
Periférico!
Periférico!
Transporting yourself in the United States.
Chip chip.
Vroom vroom.
And when we all travel together through Guatemala and Colombia.
Hi, I'm Sarah Beth, and as you can see with the skits, there are many situations where we felt both comfortable and uncomfortable. I wrote a poem to reflect on the concept of comfort. Are we comfortable when communication is difficult, when a kid on the street asks us for a few coins, when we are enjoying refreshing hot springs? Are we comfortable staying with some families who have hot water and others who don't? Sitting on the toilet for the seventh time in one day because diarrhea is real. Knowing the way the U.S. has affected Guatemala and Colombia. Are we comfortable learning how to just be in a Kekchi village? Exploring Bogota, a city that seems like it could be from the U.S. Meeting people who have been internally displaced by Colombia's armed conflict. Are we comfortable leaving? But are they comfortable? When communication is difficult, when we need so much help and attention, when we sing for them out of gratitude, are they comfortable speaking English, their second language, hosting people from a country that symbolizes oppression for some and a utopia for others, giving us so many hugs? Are they comfortable adopting an awkward college student, becoming our friends and our family, sharing their lives and stories with us? Are they comfortable saying goodbye? Were we comfortable there? Were they comfortable with us?
Hi, my name is Rachel. And my memory begins way back in December during one of our favorite information meetings amid the flurry of questions about what do I pack? How do I pack goat host gifts and all the books and everything for 3 months? Anne stopped us to read this poem by Ulrich Schaefer. Only later would I realize what it meant to our group. All growing is changing from one state to the other, leaving a world behind, entering the fear of the unaccustomed, of colors that don't blend, of holy words that jar, of fractures that give rise to visions. We have left one realm, but we have not arrived at the other. We have given up one safety, but not gained another. Above the gazing crowd, the trapeze artist lets go of her swing, and then, if her timing is right, seizes the other swing without asking time to stop for her. That is the flight into growth. That is the changeover in which we experience our nakedness to the point of hurting. But there is not real growth without leaping, without burning bridges, and standing wide-eyed and shivering on a new shore. And yet, without growth, there is nothing. Friends, 3 months ago, we sat on these very chapel steps, surrounded by our friends and family, and we wondered what in the world this journey would look like. Yet here we are again. We have leapt into the uncomfortable. We have held the hurt. But we have risked love. This is our flight into growth. But our story does not end here. In fact, we remember that our lives and our stories don't just belong to ourselves. For my life is undoubtedly woven into yours. I depend on you, and you must depend on me. So I urge everyone, risk love. Be contagious, and in the process, may the eyes of our hearts be opened. And as something special, can we have Jim and Anne please come up? And we have some escorts for you.
Thank you.
Jim and Anne were the leaders of us 20 students as we left this country and entered into a foreign land. We want to thank them for their humility, for their leadership, for their kindness, for their wisdom, for their patience, and other virtues all developed over years of servant leadership at EMU, in the surrounding community, in other countries. And thank you for taking care of us when we were injured or sick. Jim, thank you for teaching us not only in lecture but in casual conversations, just in every moment. There are not words to express all of our gratitude. Mil gracias. And as such, we have a couple gifts for you. A pair of very special oven mitts. To thank you for all of the times you've cooked for us. And a map of Guatemala, since you had mentioned that yours was a little old, and this one is fairly new. We also have a gift card for you to buy books, because we know that you are lifelong learners. And for your love of flora and fauna, we have a flora that will hopefully attract some fauna.
Now a poem. In 16 lines, I will try confessing the depth to which you both have been blessings, taking us to beautiful new places, teaching us their culture, history, and races, environment, religion, struggles, and worries, and sharing your own personal stories. And thank you for treating us in small ways, such as giving us candy and dessert always. I will start with Nurse Anne, healing cuts, burns, giardia, and dehydration with her hands. And then we have Jim, who loves to sing and teaches us about, actually, everything. You two have herded us around from point A to point B, and through our problems kept so much humility. Thank you for your actions and words spoken. Guatemala and Colombia 2K17, our eyes have been opened. Thank you to everyone who came out to see us at chapel this morning. We don't have any more final exams, but you all do, so good luck on all of those. We're going to play a slideshow with some pictures, so feel free to come ask questions, stay and watch them, or if you need to leave, then have a good rest of your day. Thank you. Mm-hmm.